talk about your health. There's no question you need omega-3s, but which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Nutritionists have debated this for years, but luckily there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus from our friends at Purity Products. I take it, and I love it, because it combines ultra-pure fish oil for your heart and krill oil for your joints together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote your cardiovascular health in ways your doctor will love. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just 7 days, so you will feel better, guaranteed. Purity is so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, they want to send you a free bottle to put it to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay a little shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now, 1-800-399-6392. That's 800-399-6392. Call now, 800-399-6392.
The Commerce Department just out with a report saying consumer spending did climb 0.4% last month, the biggest increase in household buying since 2011. Holiday shopping believed to have helped push U.S. consumer spending upward. U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth returning from an Asian trip with a new perspective on U.S. military presence in Korea. Here's more from Rachel Marie.
According to a report in The Atlantic, when Senator Tammy Duckworth returned from a recent trip to South Korea and Japan, she returned with a sobering conclusion. Americans simply are not in touch with just how close we are to war on the Korean Peninsula. In a speech at Georgetown University, she laid out the U.S. military maneuvers over the past several months. In an interview, she said the U.S. military seems to be operating with the attitude that a conflict, quote, will probably happen and we better be ready to go.
That's USA Radio's Rachel Marie, and this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn-Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
A shooting at a car wash 55 miles southeast of Pittsburgh leaves two women and two men dead and another woman injured. The gunman's on life support. John Clemens has more on the story.
The four deceased victims, all in their 20s, were shot around 3 o'clock Sunday morning in Melcroft, Pennsylvania. Another woman, also believed to be in her 20s, was injured by flying glass. The gunman, identified as 28-year-old Timothy O'Brien Smith, sustained a gunshot wound to the head and is on life support. Fayette County District Attorney Richard Bauer described the weapons Smith had in his possession.
Timothy Smith was armed with an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle, a 9mm handgun, and also possessed a .308 rifle.
President Trump's administration releasing plans for a $25 billion border wall is long promised, but at least one Republican senator says that amount's not needed. Senator Lindsey Graham wants President Trump to know that America won't sign off on building a large wall along the southern border. And a recall in effect for cream cheese products from Panera Bread because of worries about listeria. The chain announcing that recall today, saying that it's acting out of an abundance of caution, that after a sample of a cream cheese product from one day's production did show a positive result for listeria bacteria. The recall is for 2 ounce and 8 ounce cream cheese products from Panera. Listeria can cause fever and diarrhea. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home, sweet home.
All right, our local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We've got 36 degrees outside our studios right now. Today, increasing clouds, high near 44. Tonight, cloudy, low in the upper 20s. Chance of snow on Tuesday in the morning. Otherwise, cloudy, high near 36. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, gradual clearing, low down in the teens. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high near 32. Cloudy on the overnight, low in the 20s. Chance of rain Thursday, warming up a little bit. Chance of precip, at least around here, about 30%. And then again into Thursday night. Lows are in the upper 20s, so could be a little bit of that freezing mix there. Chance of snow on Friday before 2 p.m. Highs at the mid-30s, cloudy on Friday night, sunny on Saturday and Sunday. Chance of snow again around here, but we'll see what happens. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Hey, welcome to Chef Bill's Table. Your host, Bill Kinslow, here on Mondays Live, and then stored in our archives thereafter. Getting together to talk about food, drinks, celebrations, or just cooking every day. Well, there is always something on the horizon that we can celebrate. Most times, either a month is a certain dedicated to a certain food or type of food, and of course every day there is some celebration going on. I think today is Corn Chip Day, right around this time, which is kind of timely because what are we talking about? The next big food day, this Sunday, game day, Super Bowl, whatever you want to call it. It's become a big get-together day for families and friends, even more so it seems than Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving at least restaurants do some business, but Super Bowl Sunday, unless I guess in the cities where there are a lot of single people or people don't have a lot of space, the public space becomes what's happening. But at least out here in the suburbs, it's a lot of takeout food, Morris pizzerias. We do a lot with the mainly the chicken tenders. That's our signature, and that's what people seem to crave. A little bit easier to eat than wings, if you like buffalo or even other sauces, but buffalo seems to be the big winner. That's still that combination of hot sauce and blue cheese, right? It's funny how the blue cheese and celery were kind of a side thing just to cool off your palate from the heat. Dairy, of course, is good for that, and now it just seems that people like the hot sauce and the blue cheese kind of mixed together. They actually dip the tenders in the gorgonzola dressing. So if you're around here and if you've had the tenders, I'm sure you're going to pick some up. They hold up well. They reheat well if you have some left for the next day. We chop cooked tenders up and put them on a pizza. You can put them in a wrap. A lot of things you can do with them. But anyway, so what are we going to do for game day? For your party. I know last week we talked about procedures for some soups. And if you're doing something themed with the teams that are playing, whether they're your favorite teams or not, I look on it as an opportunity to give you some direction on what to serve at your get-together. Granted, we always have our favorites, and somebody will always make the, the seven-layer dip, and somebody, nachos, things like that. Just good, munchy food. That's kind of what we're going for. You want things that can hang for a while. whether they're chilled or hot. A lot of times it could be something simple in a slow cooker. That's why I like a soup or a stew. Although something served in Minnesota, we're going to feature it called Hot Dish. It's a casserole. And it's as many, I guess you could go wild with the variations. The original is like a bunch of stuff off the shelf, canned soup and ground beef and either fresh or, I mean, frozen or canned mixed vegetables. And then you have your tater tots on top. Line them up or arrange them nicely. And then you bake the whole thing in the oven. So we're going to look at a little variations on that. We're going to offer one at the restaurant. When I did a little test run in it, I actually fried the tater tots first and then put them on after the casserole was baked, which makes sense for us in the restaurant if it's something that we can make quicker. At home, of course, if you're baking it for the 45 minutes or so, then you put the frozen tater tots on top, and they will brown in the oven. Of course, only the tops get brown. Underneath, it's kind of like making a, when you think about a cottage pie or a shepherd's pie with the mashed potatoes on top. We've done a version with macaroni and cheese as a topping. We take, again, the ground beef, some onions and peppers, and beef broth and barbecue. It's kind of, I guess, similar to what we came up with for the hot dish. Kind of a barbecue flavor. Some people use chili seasonings or maybe taco seasoning. We have a layer of this ground beef, kind of a little bit saucy. And then we put the macaroni and cheese on top and bake that. So the mac becomes the crust, if you will. So that's a variation. So we were going to do that. We've done that in the past. And then I found this hot dish. Everybody, it's called casserole. That's really what it is. But they call it in Minnesota a hot dish. And I thought we'd offer it. It's the site of the Super Bowl. So, you know, if there's a hometown favorite, that's the beauty of this country. Every state, every region has its iconic foods and or things that the local people, and again, many of them influenced by whoever settled there. But certain things just grow up around the local product or, you know, whatever maybe the local taste is. So what we're going to do, we have added our twist to it. We're going to take a quick commercial break here at the quarter hour, and we'll come back. We'll walk you to a hot dish. But another thing, if you're doing nachos, I'll give you a procedure for a nice queso that will stay hot. And maybe a garnish, the pico, a couple of the weapons that we have at Jake's for turning most anything. It's just very versatile things that once you have the procedure down, it's good things to have in your repertoire. We'll be back at the table in a couple of minutes.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Chef Bill's table. So what are we going to do? So this hot dish, we'll go through that. So we're starting again with the ground beef and onions, and instead of the cream of mushroom or cream of chicken soup or something that would be in probably, I guess you'd call it the original process for it, we're going to use our Hunter sauce, which is a rich brown sauce, has bacon, has mushrooms, red wine, a little tomato paste. We serve it with our Jaeger schnitzel, and it's also kind of a base for braised beef tips. So we thought this would be, instead of, of course, a canned mushroom or soup, a cream of mushroom soup, we would use the Hunter sauce. We do add a little cream to it. And in fact, when you're making this, it kind of reminds you of a bolognese. You don't want to just crumble the beef. You want to cook it for a little while. So we cooked it with the sauce, a little beef broth, and some heavy cream. Check your seasoning. I mean, if you're making your own brown sauce, should already be seasoned well. You still might have to add a little salt and pepper in there. And I also put some vegetables in there. And I did some shredded carrots, just like, again, you would in a bolognese. Traditionally, I guess the mixed vegetables would be like corn and carrots, green beans and peas, things like that. And, you know, that's fine. Peas would be good. I just didn't happen to have any on hand. I diced up cooked asparagus and put it in there. We always have asparagus. I said, okay, I just wanted to get the idea of the volume and the, you know, the flavor. Actually, the asparagus and carrots work very well. If it's that's then some extra mushrooms, of course. Those all get sautéed and put in with this mix here. And some variations of it have cheese, some don't. And again, the one you'll see pictures of it if you search for it, and it is kind of more of a creamy sauce. Mine was a little more on the, you know, a brown sauce with some cream added to it. Not really too white. I just reduced it a little bit. When you're making a bolognese, you add your milk or your cream, and it kind of gets absorbed by the meat. It makes it nice and tender. Of course, the dairy's good. You can spice this any way you want. I've seen variations where you could take it in kind of a southwest direction if you want, make it almost like chili meat. But I kept with the nice, hearty brown mushroom sauce. So we have the layer it in the pan, and then I used a mixture of cheddar and Monterey Jack. Now you can certainly use any kind of blend you want. I would probably stay away from mozzarella. I don't want it too stringy. You have to be able to cut this thing. So put the layer of cheese on top. Now, the way I did it, I baked it first until the cheese just started to melt, and then put the tater tots on. We had fried them first to get them brown. Again, our version doesn't take as long to bake. And then arrange the tots. I made it in a round tin, so I put them in nice concentric circles. If you're in a rectangle, square, obviously you just line them up like little soldiers, and you want the top completely covered with tater tots, and then back in the oven until it's nice and bubbly. If you're making it ahead, obviously you're going to have to bake it longer. And if that was the case, I would then, you know, put the cold tater tots right on the casserole, because you're going to have to bring back. It's going to take 45 minutes or so to bake it. If you're making it fresh, it doesn't take very long. And these are one of these dishes that, you know, could maybe if you have it ready to go, maybe put it in the oven, bring it out at halftime. Or if you want to serve it from the beginning, that's fine. But I'm thinking on a game day, you know, a soup or a stew is nice. And having a casserole. Pasta is difficult unless it's something like lasagna or a stuffed pasta, because as it sits, it's going to break down, overcook. So this is why, I mean, something with the potatoes. And, you know, it's, I don't know, what we did also is after the dish was done, we sprinkled it with chopped pickled jalapenos and pepperoncinis. We keep that mix on hand. It's kind of really a version of an item we call our steak fries. We have big seasoned wedge-cut fries. We grill some marinated beef tips, put them on top, and some cheese, mushroom sauce, the Hunter sauce, and then put the peppers on. It's kind of like our version of poutine. So when I was, you know, thinking of the hot dish, like, all right, it's something that our guests are familiar with, that and the flavor combination works. So that's kind of a little take on that. And again, it's the procedure, and you can vary it any way you want. But hot dish might be something different to consider for your Super Bowl party. When Black Friday comes, I fly down to Muswell Brook. Gonna strike all the big red words from my little black book. So another thing, the queso sauce. Here's the thing with nachos. So I prefer nachos. They're a good snack. And I like them individually made. So I like the, and I like, you know, maybe a little refried bean or, you know, the shredded cheese individually, like making a little hot canapé. Put your, the classic was just the melted cheese and the slice of pickled jalapeno, not fresh. You want the pickled one. You want that little sharpness in there from the vinegar. But we used to make them some refried beans on there, or you could put black beans, offered them before crumbled chorizo sausage, which has all your nice flavors in there if you're looking for a meat topper. In many places, they'll do pulled pork, they'll do brisket, things like that. We found just that cooked, crumbled, more of a Mexican style, the fresh chorizo, not the Spanish dried one. That's good in paellas, but that's a different flavor. The Mexican chorizo is what we've done before. But instead of, you know, if you're melting the cheese on each one, you've got oven, you've got timing, you know, and they sit and they're fine, but it might be easier. Again, you want it as a host, you want to be able to enjoy your own party, to make a queso dip, something like what you would get in the stadium, just that hot pump music. It's, you know, cheese whiz or some kind of cheese sauce that gets pumped over the nachos. I like about queso is because you can have different things to put the cheese on. If you don't want corn chips, if say you want you know, potato skins, or if you want you want to put it on toast like a Welsh rarebit, or if you don't want any chips at all, you just want the queso, and maybe some people want to drag some vegetables through it, more like a hot cheese dip. So the one we came up with, and also a variation of this, we make our own cheese whiz now for the King Burger, and it's a good technique because there's no starch in it, there's no flour, so this is gluten-free, but it still holds up well in a warmer, It will thicken up after a bit, but then you can just add a little heavy cream or even add butter if you want. Either one will thin it out again. So what I do is I get a pound of the 1 pound can or whatever you like of the diced green mild chilies. This doesn't have to be spicy, although you can make it spicy. I like to add a little chipotle Tabasco to adjust the heat, that smoky flavor that's good in there. So you use the mild chilies. We use a couple of ounces of clarified butter and an ounce of white wine. And we saute those chilies. Even though they're canned, we saute them in this oil and a little bit of white wine. Once they're warmed up, you'll add a pint of heavy cream, and you're going to bring it to a simmer. Now, what I have in this is 8 ounces of cream cheese, 8 ounce, half pound of good American cheese, not those individually wrapped slices. That's too liquid. You want to get something that's either been sliced at the deli or if you can find a block of American and shred it up yourself, all the better. That's what we do at the restaurant. We shred the block American. We don't buy pre-sliced. Now you've got also a half pound of a cheddar jack. All those are good melting cheeses. And once the cream, I usually add the cream cheese first, and I do like to bring that to room temperature if you can. It'll just melt easier. Cut it into cubes and let it sit for a while. Or you can just microwave it for a few seconds just to warm it up. But you want to get the cream cheese melted in there. And the reason for cream cheese, it's besides its nice mild cheese flavor, is the emulsifiers in there will help stabilize your sauce. So you won't get that butter separating out of it. So get the cream cheese in there. Again, warm, very, very low heat. You could even do this in your slow cooker if you want on the cook function. And then turn it down to just the hold function on the dial there. Or if you have a thermostat, you don't want it to boil too much. You just want to melt the cheese. So we've got the cream cheese in there, the American shredded. Or if you have to use slices, just the slices are thin enough. They'll melt in there. And then your shredded cheddar jack. So you've got about a pound and a half of cheese in there. When these are all melted, I use a teaspoon of granulated onion. Not onion salt, because the cheese is salty enough. You may need a little salt and pepper, probably more pepper than salt. Tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce, and then a few dashes of chipotle Tabasco, or if you like regular Tabasco, or even your favorite hot sauce. Just use that as kind of a seasoning. So once this is done, you could let it come to room temperature and use it as a spread. You could chill it and use it as a spread. You can reheat it if you want to and keep it warm in the crock pot. So now you've got this nice cheese dip. And then this is what you can ladle over your, let's say you have your corn chips. And the trouble is, you know, you get the packaged ones, depending. I like to just get regular fried tortillas, the triangles, not so much the chips with all the salt on them. You're really trying to, one of the dangers of a day like this with the snacks is that you can really overdo it on the salt sometimes. Maybe that's good for drinking beer, makes you thirsty, but you really don't want to, overdo the salt. You're going to get enough. So, you know, especially if you're eating cheeses and some of these other casserole type foods and all the little munchies, some people, you might want to watch how much salt you're taking in. So regular corn chips, you can fry your own if you want. You can bake them. Or you could pick something else to put the dip over. But this way, it's always warm. You don't have it sitting around chilling, melted cheese, and then it gets a little hard. And then have your garnishes and your other things that go with it. You can still have your diced avocado, your chopped onions, tomatoes, shredded lettuce, whatever you want. If you happen to have chili on your menu that day, of course, just take your chili, make a taco salad. Many things you could do with this. The fact that you can make it ahead if you want. You can reheat it, and it doesn't break. Because you have these, I think the cream cheese and the American cheese really help in there. And, you know, the flavors are milder, not as much salt, a little lower fat. So it's all good. And of course, one of the garnishes are pico. not necessarily pico de gallo, but it's called pico. Nice little relishy thing that we use for our guacamole. Another good thing to have, just as a great condiment for any time. We've got a break for news, and we'll come back and look at some more ideas for Super Bowl. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
At least five terrorist attackers, including a suicide bomber, strike in Kabul, Afghanistan, at a military academy this morning, killing at least 11 Afghan soldiers. 16 others were wounded. Like a weekend car bombing in Kabul that killed over 100 people, the Taliban says it's responsible. President Trump's expected to detail a plan today that would create a path to citizenship for so-called young dreamers, illegal immigrants brought to the U.S. as children. An administration spokesman says this follows many, many meetings with both sides of the aisle on how to craft such a plan.
He had hosted dozens of meetings at the White House, some with Republicans, some Democrats, some bipartisan, some just House, some just Senate. A lot of meetings he came forth with a rational compromise plan that I think is something Democrats ask for.
That's Mark Short on Fox News Sunday, and this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
You know, when the Israelites got to the desert, they were given manna from heaven. Well, we may not have manna, but we do have New Manna. In these uncertain times, become food independent with New Manna's long-term storable food. Healthy, nutritious, dense meals, organic, non-GMO, taste great and last for over 25 years. Oh, and gluten-free is available. Order now and get 20% off, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just use promo code WAR. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775, or go to newmanna.com.
Table here, Chef Bill's Table, about Super Bowl. So the pico that we use, and this is kind of about proportions. It's one of the few things we really don't have a set recipe for, because sometimes the jalapenos are hotter, sometimes the tomatoes are larger, smaller, riper, what have you. So it's basically, it's like a pico de gallo, but it's more of a seasoning. So you take Roma tomatoes, the plums. We don't peel them. We take off the stem. You cut them crosswise, across its equator, and you, with the tip of a paring knife, you get rid of all of the seeds and liquid that's in there. So you just have the flesh of the tomato. The Romas are good for this. Regular tomatoes, you know, there's a little bit more of the seeds and things in there. So the plum tomatoes, Romas, are what we use. So you have those halved and the stem off. Jalapenos, again, check your batch. So you could use stronger chilies, but the jalapenos work pretty well. But we do those, take off the stem, cut them into quarters lengthwise, and scrape out the seeds and the membrane. So you've got the flavor of it, but not quite all the heat. So say for every Roma tomato, you know, medium size, you might use one jalapeno. And again, depending on the size of these, you want it about a 2-to-1 ratio of chopped tomato to jalapeno. Really a lot more than is in a salsa. Plus, you're not going to have all the tomato liquid in there. This is going to be not really a saucy item. A little bit of minced red onion. than the seasoning for it. And cilantro, we're pretty liberal with chopped cilantro. Fresh lime juice and a little bit of salt and pepper. Again, you don't need much pepper if your jalapenos are hot, but you definitely want a little bit of salt in there for the tomatoes and the onions. And this is mixed up, and we use this as a base for guacamole. We put it on top of chili. We put it on our fish tacos. We call it the sixth mother sauce. There are five mother sauces that we learn in classical cuisine. We call this one the sixth one. It's great if you want to make a quick salsa out of a fruit. It's very good. You take some pineapple, you take peaches, you take melon, whatever you like. And even if you have some nice ripe soft tomatoes, this would go in there kind of as the seasoning for a salsa. It's got the basic things you need in there. You've got your acid, you've got your cilantro, and your tomatoes, jalapenos, and onions. So the pico is always in these. If you're doing, you know, even nachos, it's a good little brisk, relishy seasoning to put on top. Something else, and I think for me, if I was, you know, you're setting it up, so you've got a soup, you've got a casserole, and some kind of nachos. The sliders are another thing. What I try to do with, especially entertaining, I remember it's Sunday night, you got to get up the next day and go to work, so you don't want a lot of cleanup. Things with, one thing about wings is, of course, you got all the bones sitting around. That's why tenders are always better. But whatever you're serving, you also want it to be kind of pick-up food, things that don't need a lot of utensils. You know, nice thing about a casserole soup, you just need a spoon. You don't have to worry about cutting things like cutting a steak or a roast or something like that. Sliders are great. We're going to do, we're going to offer crab sliders. Lobster, this time of year, a little bit expensive. If you like an iconic New England food, of course, lobster sliders would be great, but nothing wrong with using crab meat. And we're going to make them the same way. We just use, when we do lobster sliders, of course, we have the fresh steamed chopped lobster meat. What we try to do is not make it with too much mayonnaise. We season it with a little bit of Old Bay and a little lemon juice and parsley and some finely minced celery. Again, not too much. Just enough for a little crunch in there and flavor, but we're trying to make this all about the seafood. So these are blended in there, and then you add your mayonnaise and just enough mayo to bind it together. You don't want it to be a mayonnaise slider or a mayonnaise roll. You want it to be a lobster roll or a crab roll. So we're going to offer the crab. We had done them with a champagne tasting, and actually on these we're going to we put a slice of avocado. So that's kind of your enrichment there. And the crab and avocado, of course, classic combination. And if you're looking to do a chilled seafood slider, you could do that. You could do it with shrimp. The avocado on there is a nice touch. And what's the other? Oh, another meatballs. You always forget about meatballs, right? Swedish meatballs would probably be more Minnesota-like. And if you're making meatballs, again, any, you know, you use beef, you can use pork, veal, any culture. Every culture has some kind of little nosh like this, right? The Swedish, we do classic, I guess, for what most people think of is you've seen sometimes sweet and sour, where you just use some cranberry jelly and mustard. I've seen that also with little cocktail franks. What I do for the Swedish meatball, again, make a nice brown sauce. And you could use regular beef broth. It's fine. You want to enrich it with a tad of tomato paste, maybe a pinch of thyme. That's fine. But just basically you make your roux. Or if you can't, meatballs need some kind of stretcher in them anyway, so not going to be really gluten-free. Unless you do use ricotta and eggs. But make your roux, 2 ounces of, well, for for a quart of sauce, you probably need an ounce of butter and an ounce, or 2 ounces of butter, 2 ounces of flour. Make your light roux. Don't really put wine in it. I'll make a fairly thick brown sauce, and then I add a little heavy cream. Seasoning, of course, Worcestershire sauce is a primary seasoning of what I consider with Swedish meatballs. White pepper and nutmeg and parsley. Nutmeg is what gives it that nice aroma. So we put some of that in the sauce and in the meatball mix. It gets reinforced. If you remember proportions, which we like to talk about, there's many recipes out there you could find, but just in general, for me, meatballs, just like sausage, need to be about 30% filler. You don't gain anything by just rolling up ground meat with seasoning and browning them off. You get little hamburger pellets, which, if that's what you want, it's fine, but not what I call a meatball. So for every pound of meat, I like to use one egg and, you know, third to half a cup of some kind of liquid. Could be milk, would be easiest. And then enough panko, plain breadcrumbs. I like the panko. They're a little bit larger. Some people, you'll see recipes where you take the milk and soak some old bread in it and then crush that up. Either way, you've got to get, if you've got the pound of meat, you need almost a cup of filler. And that's what makes them tender. And you have your seasoning in there. And I like to, you know, if you're using onion and garlic, put them in raw. You've got to mince them quite fine. One of the best ways to do onion, of course, is on your box grater. The large holes, just grate the onion. You get kind of a puree and some juice there. You won't need that much. Plus, you won't get big chunks. I don't like big chunks of things in a meatball. A meatball, to me, should be an homogeneous, smooth mixture. So I tend to use more of seasonings like onion and garlic, granulated. And for the Swedish, again, a little of the Worcestershire, a little bit of parsley, pepper, and nutmeg. And frying the meatballs off, you're either going to bake them or you're going to saute them, and then they should be soaking in the sauce for a while. You want to give them a nice long bath in the sauce. That way the flavor, the meat is going to go in the sauce is going to flavor the meat, nice and tender. And whatever meatballs you make, remember those proportions and give them some simmering time in the sauce. You don't want to stir too vigorously. You don't want to break them up. And scaling them, probably 1 ounce would be the biggest I would go. You want really good for cocktail size when they finish at a half ounce. You might do 3/4 of an ounce. Easy way to do that if you don't have a scale. If you know how much meat mix you have, and what we used to do for the small meatballs is just make a rectangle or a square of even thickness on the cutting board. And if you've got, you know, 2 pounds of meat and you want 1 ounce meatballs, then you'd cut 32 squares out of it. Very easy to do. If you want 3/4 of an ounce, you'd figure how many squares you want to cut, do your portioning, and then you can roll them. The other way is, of course, to use a scoop. But you want, for the cocktails, it's probably what's called a number 40, something fairly small. And you want to roll them. You don't want to overwork them, but you do want them round and you want them to stay together. Now, another version, Italian meatballs we used to do, one place I worked, it was called fried meatballs. So what you do is you have your regular meatball mix, but double the egg. Not double the breadcrumbs, but double the egg. They're very soft, and they're almost like a soft sausage. And those we kind of flattened out a little bit. They weren't really round. They were more served as fried patties. And then whatever sauce or garnish you want would be on the side. And those would actually be good in sliders because they're slightly flattened out. If you're doing meatball sliders, maybe that's the way to go. You could either make large ones, cut them in half, or if you're making individuals, just flatten them out a little bit before you cook them. We're going to break for commercial. A couple of announcements here and continue on. I found don't forget beverages and sweets, right? All this savory food. You still want people to have a little bit of sweet things at the end, right? We'll be back at the table in a second.
I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to 100inChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the 100. You're listening to WHCRDB, 100inChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100in Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100in-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the 100in County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@100in-chamber.org. The 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Back at the table. Oh, yeah, something else. So sliders, of course, hoagies. I like the long hoagies that are cut into slices. Pizza, I know, always a big, favorite food in America anyway. The trouble, with pizza, I don't mind it as it sits. Actually, I don't really like it piping hot. It's easier to eat once it settles in a little bit. Something I used to get at the hot truck when I was first in college. It's called Poor Man's Pizza. And if you didn't want to wait for the fresh dough pizza, they would just split a long loaf of bread, French bread or Italian bread, and make it just like a pizza. You see French bread pizzas all the time in the frozen section, English muffin pizzas, all these things are just making basically an open-faced sandwich, right? But I've done these, and you could do various toppings. If you think of stuffed breads, versions we used to do, kind of like a stromboli, but not really, because they are rolled up kind of like a jelly roll with the fresh pizza dough. And those are always good if you have the wherewithal to make those, a pound of pizza dough. Just spread it out into a rectangle and fill it with your choice of your fillings, not any sauce really. Roll it up and let it proof a little bit and bake it. We've talked about these on a previous show. Stuffed breads are great. You can make them ahead. You can slice them, serve them room temperature. You can warm them up in the oven. You can warm them in the microwave. It's just pretty handy. And you can flavor them the same way as a pizza or a stromboli. So the poor man's pizza, again, you know, good bread. Put your toppings on and your cheese and bake them. And then when they come out of the oven, put the sandwich together. And now it can sit for a while if you want. Then you serve it as slices instead of having, you know, and the small slices too, instead of grabbing big slices of pizza that come in. You can have your choice of your fillings. This is when I'll go with some vegetables like spinach and mushrooms, or you could have a meat one. You could have a broccoli one or a broccoli rabe. Anything you can put in a hot sandwich, put some cheese on it. I mean, you could do a ham and brie. Put the sandwich together and then slice it just like you would slice your cold hoagie. So that's another thought. Again, if you want something that's pickups. The other way, of course, is to cut the pizzas. I think they do it in Cincinnati. The Twin Trees in Baldwinsville, where I grew up, does it. They cut the pizza into little squares. So you get some outside pieces, some inside pieces, and that seems to be a neat way to serve it for a crowd. Again, people don't want too much of any one thing. You could have a little bite of pizza. Something along that line, an invention that, production, the Bundt pan, if we're talking about desserts. Madalena's here and Ringo's, their original cheesecake was in a bundt shape. I always thought it was genius because when you're portioning, especially in a restaurant, sometimes you need a certain size portion for an a la carte dessert. Sometimes you want a smaller piece for, say, a buffet or a dessert tray. And I thought the bundt shape of cheesecake, so you could just cut as thick or as thin a slice as you want. You don't have to worry about the little points breaking off, you know, lifting it out of the pan or off the tray. A lot of things make sense with it. So the bundt cake, if you're looking for desserts, if you wanted to celebrate Minnesota, we're produced there. The pans, Nordicware came up with it. It's kind of a variation on a European pan. Call it a bundt pan. And in the 50s and 60s, made famous. Betty Crocker, of course, the cake people jumped on and all kinds of recipes. But it, again, makes sense. You've got something round that you can cut into any size slice you want. Usually when you're cutting a cake, you've got to figure out, okay, how many wedges do I need? The bundt, somebody wants a thin slice, just slice it off. You want a thicker slice, they bake quicker, they bake more evenly because of the shape, and you can do stuffed cakes, I mean, all kinds of things. You could probably split and fill them if you want, but normally these get, if you have a filling, it kind of goes in with the batter. And you still have a nice glaze, but bundt cakes are, you know, something to think about. The other thing is, of course, the bars, the Scotcheroos, cookie bars, dessert bars, they call them. And there's so many recipes. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you, but they're usually nice, and I've advocated this before you, whether with cakes or pastries, that make them in a rectangle or a square and cut them into little squares, or if you make something in a half sheet pan, you got a couple of bars out of it, and have your slices there. You've got some that, you know, like they're based on Rice Krispies treats that don't even get baked, or some that might bake a crust and then you have a filling on them. If you have pecan pie, you could turn that into one of these. I mean, there's many, many possibilities, but bundt cake and dessert bars would be good from Minnesota. Also, Boston cream pie. Again, the idea I saw, it's really cake and custard, right, and chocolate. What's wrong with that? And you could make everything from scratch. You could, you know, what they call hack it. You could, use a butter cake mix and a nice vanilla pudding. And I don't know. Ganache is so easy for the frosting. I don't know if I'd hack that with a canned frosting. Ganache is great, the melted chocolate and heavy cream. That can also be whipped if you want something that you'd like to pipe, make it a little fluffier. But Boston cream cupcakes, and either way, you could make them and split them and fill them, or just after the cupcakes are baked, take your pastry cream or your pudding and just with a cake decorating tube, just fill them just like you're filling a donut. Either way, you've got a nice combination going there. So if you're thinking of desserts, again, pickups. You don't have to. Some people do a big football cake, and it could, you know, you could do a centerpiece. They're always nice if you're a baker. Nothing wrong with that. But various dessert bars, again, they could be done ahead, which is the nice thing about them. Zert Bars, Boston Cream Cupcakes, and you've got it. So now, other strategies. Now, say we talk about lowering salt content. Crackers. Everybody has cheese and crackers. Make some crostinis. Get a French baguette. We've been doing this at our Christmas gathering. And everybody, people like cheese and crackers. And one year we just didn't have any crackers. And we cut French bread, brush it with olive oil. You season it. Again, you're looking to lower salt content, but still a little salt and pepper works on there. And bake them in a 400-degree oven. You just really want to dry them out. Really doesn't take long at all. And you're not looking to make, I guess you are. You're kind of making toast. But that little bit of olive oil, nice flavoring on it. If you want to sprinkle onion, garlic, whatever, there's many flavored crackers out there. If you wanted to put grated cheese on it, but we like them just like this. They're thin slices of bread, and again, substantial enough to use in a dip or to put something on, a little piece of smoked salmon, and you don't have that salt content. If you're doing cheese, a nice whipped ricotta might be something different, something lower fat. Take ricotta cheese and season it, flavor it, and that could be something that won't have, again, all the salt and the fat, the calories that maybe a mayonnaise or a cream cheese dip would make. So, I don't know. There's some ideas. Good variation. You want things, a combination that you can make ahead. Some of the last-minute things. And remember to enjoy the party. Keep plenty of water on hand. And be careful of consumption. Usually one beverage, one alcoholic beverage, one glass of water. That's a good proportion to go by. Keep yourself hydrated and keep your head straight. Anyway, enjoy the game, enjoy cooking. We'll be back at the table next week, and I guess we're getting ready for Valentine's Day. See you later.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
At least five terrorist attackers, including a suicide bomber, strike in Kabul, Afghanistan, at a military academy this morning, killing at least 11 Afghan soldiers. 16 others were wounded. Like a weekend car bombing in Kabul that killed over 100 people, the Taliban says it's responsible. President Trump's expected to detail a plan today that would create a path to citizenship for so-called young dreamers, illegal immigrants brought to the U.S. as children. An administration spokesman says this follows many, many meetings with both sides of the aisle on how to craft such a plan.
He had hosted dozens of meetings at the White House, some with Republicans, some Democrats, some bipartisan, some just House, some just Senate. A lot